The sermon this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Please join me there. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. This is immediately following Jesus' birth. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all of the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Pray with me. Our Father, help us now as we would look and consider what you have said. Help us to understand the meaning of these things and as how they apply to our hearts today, that is to our affections, how they apply to our lives today, that is the ways that we live, that you will be glorified as we see the great weight of this situation and what it brings to us, the light that it brings to us, that you will be glorified in the ways that we love you and in the ways that we announce you to others. Because of you, and because of your namesake, and because of the great salvation that is given in your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Perhaps in your life you have had the experience of seeing fireworks. When we were children, my father liked to take us to Steubenville, Ohio, and we would go to this park where they had a huge firework display. And we would go and we'd have to park far away and we would walk in and my dad and my mom would carry us when we were little, set us up on their shoulders, and there would be these great big crowds of people. And we would go and we would lay a blanket down and maybe we'd pull out some oatmeal cream pies and we would sit on the blanket and we would watch the fireworks going off and everybody did their job. Everybody said, "Ooh, ah, oh," as it went on. And then eventually at the end, we all know what happens. It goes bananas. It goes crazy. The streaks are flying into the sky. The booms are going off. And my mother loved the pretty colors. My dad loved the booms. He liked to say you could hear it echoing off of the far hills as it came back. And it was called what? The grand finale. The grand finale. And what they were doing was trying to build us up to the point where you almost couldn't take it at the end. You were to be struck with awe. Well, we were given that picture in Ezekiel where that amazing scene is taking place. Which one of us wouldn't have lost it if we saw just one of those beings with the four faces and the eyes everywhere and the human hands? Well, there they are and they're flying around and there's flying saucers flying around with these aliens. And he looks at it and he says, "This is awesome. This is awesome. He's taking it in, this great picture. And then heaven is opened up above him, and he's marveling at it. He's taking it all in. And then there is the throne, and one on the throne with the appearance of a man, it seems. But he's shining and glistening. And when he sees the one on the throne that is above all of these things, that's when he loses it. That's when he loses it. That's where he has seen the glory of God, and he's down on his face at that point. Well, we move forward then, and we come into the newer covenant, and the scene is given for the shepherds. I don't know how many of you have ever been off at night where there are no streetlights and there are no houses. You know dark. You know dark, dark in those moments. And there they are, off in the dark, and the same sort of thing happens. Heaven actually opens up. So these beings who are in the presence of God in light and glory, the doorway opens. They step into shadow into our world. The glory of the throne shines through. The shepherds lose it. They're terrified at this point. They're given the message, go see the king now. Go see the king. We're moving forward to this great climax again, and they arrive, and what do they find? Is it the throne? Is it this great glory? Or they walk into a barn. Some say it was a cave. And there's the baby again in the animal trough. What is this picture for us? What has come for us? And in what way has he come for us? Now, I would be tempted to imagine that the guys would be like, huh. Look at each other and shrug. But that's not what happens. Seems as if somehow, as this message has come, they're actually getting it. They're actually getting it. They're not like that. I guess we'll go. We saw the baby in the animal trough. I guess we'll go back. I guess we'll go look at our sheep. They leave, and from there, their response is to share the glory and glorify God as he has done exactly what he has said, as he has said he will do it. Now, for us, as we have come, I don't know what your experience has been, and I've talked to people who have had a really sad experience. I talked to a great aunt of mine, and as I was so full of zeal when I was saved, she said, but doesn't it get boring after a while? I asked, what? She said, the Bible. Doesn't it get boring after a while? And my answer was, no, and wow, I hope not. Well, 20 years later, no. 20 years later, no. And there's people here that we can talk to. They could say 30 years later, no. 40 years later, no. 50 years later, no. And we could keep going with some of us. No. No, it doesn't get boring after a while. We have been given the words of life, and we have been given the good news in Jesus Christ. So what is your response now? As we have been told, what will take place? As you and I, who have trusted in Christ, as we have called to God in our state of grief, as he has answered us and has given us relief, what now is our response? Do we shrug? I guess we'll go back to the sheep. Do we shrug as we have been in the midst of the grand finale, and the grand finale, we're being told, is just right around the corner. As you look at the parts where Jesus talks about what's going to happen, I think I may have told you this. I know I've told you this. When I preached through the Gospel of Mark, I was really scared when we got to the end time stuff. When Jesus does his end time sermon, because I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I'm not sure how to unpack the end times. A lot smarter people than me disagree on exactly how this is going to play out. But I was so happy when I read through, and Jesus gets to the end of the statement, and he says, so be ready. I was like, yeah, I can preach that. So be ready. was Christ's message when he told us about what's going to happen. So you and I, we come in, we've been given the message, we have been given the truth, we've called to him in grief, he has answered us, he has sent relief. So what is our response? Here I would say it is to be exactly as the shepherds displayed, exactly as Mary displayed. Mary pondered these things in her heart, and the shepherd openly proclaimed God's good news in the gospel. How's that? How's that? How's that for a response of God's people? And this is where we're going. So this brings us to our first step. Keep considering God's radiant character. Keep considering God's radiant character. We see in verse 19, Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And we also see in verses 8 and 9, this radiance. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. All right, the glory of the Lord, what does that look like? What does it look like? What would it be like now if, as the scripture describes, a doorway to heaven opened up? What would it look like? Revelation 4:5 describes, out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. Anybody been close to lightning? Is there anything scarier in this world than being close to lightning? A friend of mine described being out on a camping trip, and his friends were walking down the road. Lightning struck the tree next to them. He said he looked up and saw the tree split and splinter in a spiral coming down as the bark exploded off in a spiral coming down to the earth. And that sound, when you're close to it, it's not that rumble anymore. It's a smack that shakes you to the core. The scripture here is describing that situation, not just the smack and the feel it, but also the peals of the thunder as it is described. These angels were in this setting, and this is the way it was coming about for them. In Ezekiel 1:28, the radiance is described in this way: as the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so is the appearance of the surrounding radiance. So we've given this picture, the angels come into the scene in the darkness at night, the lightning cracking and smacking around, a rainbow, as it were, shining around them, that they are taken in to this scene. Such was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And then Ezekiel, after you saw everything else, said, and when I saw it, I fell on my face. I fell on my face when the scene was given to me. In Acts, when Paul is describing when Jesus had shown himself to him, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me. Brighter than the sun, the lightning, the thunder, the rainbow, a light brighter than the sun. So how do we take in this idea of God's glory? And remember, glory is the idea of a weight. I had a friend that he would describe people that had a presence and had a character about them as big. He would say, that person feels big, is the way he would talk about him. In the book about Louis Zamprini, there was a man that was in the POW camp, and he died there, this another man. And he was described, some people said that he was 7 foot tall. But he wasn't. But everyone remembered his character that way, as if this man who was even starving to death was 7 feet tall, and he wasn't more than 6'2". Some described him as even bigger because he had this presence about him. Glory has a presence to it. Glory has a weight to it. It's a showing of value. Now, think of someone in your life that's been in your life with value. Someone that's been in your life that has had a weight. Maybe a giant. You could think of them that way. A giant in their character. We've talked about people who can walk into a room and brighten the room with their presence, maybe with their affection for you, maybe with their love, or maybe with their gentleness. They bring it in, and there they are. Take the biggest person like that you've known, the warmest person like that that you've known, the brightest person like that that you have known, and multiply it by infinity. Imagine that light. Imagine the weight of the presence of that person coming in to you, for you, shining there with you. And what could our response be but to fall down on our face? That was just the light of the glory of Christ being brought in when that doorway was open to heaven. That is his radiant character that we are to ponder in our hearts continuously. That is his presence. That is his power. This brings us to our second step then, because as his presence has come, we have not been undone. But the message comes and says this in verses 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all of the peoples." So we're not undone by it, but the message is this: be glad in God's good news. Be glad in God's good news. The light comes, but it doesn't burn you away. The light comes, but the light does not reject you. But the light comes in Christ Jesus, and you are received. It's not that you are undone by his fire and his lightning and his radiance. But the message is, you will be received, because today in the city of David, there has been born for you, it says specifically, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So as terrifying as this is, as powerful as this is, as bright and as heavy as this is, he says, but you're not undone. You are saved. You are rescued, because a Savior has been born for you. This is why the shepherds could rejoice. Our third step is, remember Jesus in his powerful positions. Remember Jesus in his powerful positions. Verse 11 again. For today in the city of David, there has been born a Savior for you, who is Christ the Lord. Christ, the name Christ, or office of Christ. You can think of it in terms of an office. If you knew someone who was a very, very good politician, you might think in these terms. He's got an office. He is the mayor, maybe. Different people in the church, they have offices. It's a title. It's a position that they are given. Christ is an office, that is the anointed one. And we understand him as the prophet, the priest, and the king. In the older covenant, who was anointed? The prophet, the priest, the king. Christ comes in these three offices, and to really know him, you have to know him in these ways. He is the one that says, no one comes to the Father but through me. No one comes to the Father but through me. He speaks that as prophet. He is the one who says, no one takes my life from me, but I have authority to lay it down and to take it up again. He gives himself as a sacrifice for many, as the priest. And he is the one who has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He is the king. So for people to say, Jesus is still all right with me, Jesus is still all right, oh yeah, as the old song would say it. Do they really know him? Do they really know him? Can we shrug and say, yeah, I like Jesus? I've told a story about the young man in the neighborhood, and he referred to Jesus so casually as the J-man. as if he knew him and as if they were friends? Did he know him as prophet, as the one who says, no one comes to the Father but through me? Did he know him as priest, the one who had laid down his life for sinners, for the church? Did he know him as king, the one who actually has all authority over heaven and earth and over our own hearts? Our own hearts. This is Christ in his powerful position. We look and see in Genesis 4:1, after the promise had been made that the Christ would come in Genesis 3:15, it says, now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man-child. Now they've tried to help us out in our translation, and it's been added in with the help of the Lord in Genesis 4:1. A literal translation is, I have begotten the man-child, Yahweh. I have begotten the man-child, God himself, which is the feel and what we are given in Isaiah 9:6, what would come when Jesus came. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. This is what we are given. This is the reality. This is the truth, that Jesus is God himself come as prophet, as priest, and as king. And this brings us to our fourth step. Glorify God because of the gospel given. Glorify God because of the gospel given. The shepherds went back. So after they had taken in the scene, they went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. What's been the case in your life? What have you heard? What have you seen? Is everything taking place as God has said that it will? Then, therefore, what can be our response but to glorify God? Now, how do we glorify him? Some have put it in the terms of magnifying him. There's different ways to magnify. You can think of magnification with a telescope. You can think of magnification with a microscope. Magnification with a microscope. You take something that's little and you try to make it big. Magnification with a telescope. You take something that's already really big, and you try to see it more like it really is. As you magnify the Lord in this life, you help me, you help the church, see the Lord as he is. Prophet, priest, king, Lord. You help the world see Christ as he is. Prophet, priest, king, as the actual Lord. You see, this is our job. This is our work. You were saved for this very purpose, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are called Jerusalem, the city on the hill that cannot be hidden, the light that shines into the darkness. You, as individuals, you, as families, us, as church, this is exactly what we are called upon to do. His radiance and his glory has been made known to you. Can we shrug and just go back to the sheep? Can we shrug and just go back to our aimless distraction? Can we shrug and just go back to our busyness as if that is all that we are? Or are you so, so much more? Are you a holy nation? Are you a royal priesthood, to proclaim again the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is the work that we are given. And frankly, we don't look at the shepherd saying, well, now we've got to go do our work, do we? Oh, that thing we have to do. It was the overflowing of the light that they had seen. The overflowing of the one who is the way and the truth and the life. The good news. The gospel given. God being glorified. As we work and labor together to openly announce God's good news to each other and to the lost. Pray with me. Lord, we behold the good that you have done for us, the salvation given to us in Christ Jesus. We look at your beautiful word and we look at your truth. And sadly, so often, we simply shrug. Lord, do a great work with your spirit. Convict us of your glory. Convict us of the needs of the lost, of those who are wandering like sheep without a shepherd, even being tormented. Help us to magnify you and glorify you for the lost, for your glory, and for the building of your church. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.